Well, good to see all of you tonight. Appreciate you coming. Good to see you. Bless your heart. We're just so thankful for this opportunity to come to Powhatan Church. My, I've enjoyed it more than anybody else, I know. So, I thank you for allowing me to come and be a part of the services this week. And thank you for coming and being a part of the service. And so God bless each of you. By the way, Jane does have that a little cassette. We carried her mother and daddy up to Durham today to see the house. And while we were there, she thought about bringing that. So if you'd like for her to use it one night, why, she'll do that, I know. So, but so good to see you. God bless you. I trust if you had a good day today. And we just thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's always good to be in the house of God, isn't it? In the presence of God's people and in the presence of the Lord. So we're just so thankful and we're just so blessed. We are a blessed people. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. And I'm going to read through verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning with verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbleth not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet speaking from the mouth of the Lord, and also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations and the heathens, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betime and sending, because he had passion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word tonight. May we bow together for just another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, it's been a wonderful day, and we thank and praise you for it. And Lord, we thank you for this church, and thank you, Lord, for each person that's here tonight. And Lord, I just pray for your presence and your anointing. Lord, we've already felt your presence here tonight. Lord, even in the prayer room, Lord, the Spirit of God was real, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless us, and Lord, that you would just use us tonight. Lord, that you'd speak through us the very words that you'd have us to bring. Lord, use these lips of clay tonight. Lord, that you would anoint them. And Lord, that you would just bless as only God can bless. Lord, we thank you that you're in the blessing business. Lord, you're in the good business. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray now for your direction. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I also think tonight on the subject, there is a remedy. We see here in the scripture that at this writing that Zedekiah was king of Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he was an evil king, and he did that that was contrary to the will of God. And you know, evil people are going to do the things that is contrary to the Lord. And it's a sad time when people fail to serve God. But we see around about us today that so many people are serving other gods instead of the true and living God. So we see that in verse 12, "And he did that," the Bible says, "which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God." He would not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. And you know, today people do not want to humble themselves before God. You know, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. And there's a lot of folks today with a lot of pride. But we need to humble ourselves and look to the Lord God. And then in verse 13, "And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar." And so he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And moreover, in verse 14, "all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathens and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem." You know, when people begin to pollute the house of God, they're standing on dangerous ground, aren't they? But I'm glad tonight that we're standing on holy ground, aren't you? When we're in the house of God, where people love God and serve God, and in the will of God, while we're standing on holy ground. But when people begin to pollute the house of God and walk contrary to the will of God, that's certainly dangerous, is it not? And so the people transgressed against the Lord. And certainly we see that, "and the Lord God of their fathers," verse 15, "sent to them his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because of he had come passed on his people and on his dwelling place." The Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them and sent messengers to them. Isn't it wonderful that God has messengers today and people like you that will warn people of their sin and of their wrongdoing? And certainly that's a part of the church, that we stand up for that which is right, that we stand up and be counted for the Lord, because we have a Lord to talk about and to brag about. He's the best there is. He's the best that we have. And certainly we need to lift him up all the time. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word, misused his prophets. You know, people misuse the people of God today, do they not? Until the wrath of the Lord, the Bible says, rose up against them. I believe that God's wrath is going to be poured out upon people that know not God. The Bible says that the Lord rose up against the people until there was no remedy. But I'm glad there's a remedy in the Lord Jesus, aren't you? I'm glad that there's a remedy in the Lord, because all things are possible through and by him. There is nothing that God cannot do. You know, I'm limited in my ability. There's just certain things that I can do. But we have to depend upon God, because the Lord is the one that gives us strength. The Lord is the one that gives us power. The Lord is the one that gives us the unction. And aren't you glad tonight for the unction of the Holy Ghost of God? I'm glad that we have that today, aren't you? When the Lord Jesus went away, he so told his disciples that he would not leave them comfortless, and he did not. Surely, usually, there is a remedy for all things and everything God said that there's a remedy for sin, and His Son Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. And Sunday, as I mentioned last night, I believe it was, we celebrate Resurrection Day as we come together in God's house to worship a risen Lord, a Lord that's alive and well, and a Lord that wants His people to be alive and well. He wants His people to be an excited people, and I'm glad tonight that if you're on the Lord's side, you're on the winning side, and you have something to be excited about. Because the Lord loves you, and the Lord provides for you, and the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you, but He's always with us. Isn't that wonderful to know that this Lord is always with us? He'll never leave us. Praise the Lord for that. But God said, amend your ways and your doings in Jeremiah 7 and verse 3. People need to mend their ways and their doings if they're not doing right. Israel had sinned against the Lord until there was no shame upon them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, no, they were not ashamed when they sinned against Almighty God. And they were not at all ashamed, neither could blush. You know, sometimes I believe people get to the place in their life that they get so far away from God that they don't even blush anymore. They don't even care anymore. They don't care anything about the Lord. They don't care anything about holiness and the things of God. But I don't know about you, but that's the things I'm concerned about, the things of holiness and the things of God. I'm glad tonight that the Lord is on my side and He's on your side, aren't you? I'm glad tonight that He's a holy God. And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you know, some people say, well, I can't be holy. But listen, we have to be a holy people. I'm glad that we are holy if we know Jesus Christ, and if we've trusted Him, and if we're living for Him, and He's living in our heart. Yes, we are a holy people, and I thank God for that. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Thank God for weepers. You know, there needs to be more weeping today, doesn't it? In our world, in our country today, there needs to be more tears shed, perhaps, because of situations that we see and problems that we encounter each and every day of our life. But I'm glad there's no problem that's too big for God, aren't you? I'm glad that God is bigger than all the problems. I've said it, and I've said it several times, that you can pile all the problems in the world upon God, and He is well able and well capable of meeting those needs, and there's still room for God to continue to bless. Listen, folks, we are serving an awesome God. He is awesome, and I just praise Him tonight because of His awesome power and what He does for us every day. Why, He's a blessing to us, is He not? Thank God for the weepers. You know, we ought to weep over other folks and problems. Another thing about Jeremiah, also, as we were read some scripture from Jeremiah, he would not compromise. He would not compromise with the king. He was not a compromiser. You know, many people today compromise. You know, a lot of people are like this. If they are with this crowd, they're going to go along with this crowd. It doesn't matter what this crowd goes along with, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, they're going to go along with it. And if they're with this crowd, if they're with this crowd that's holy and loves the Lord and, you know, just filled with the Spirit and all that, they love the Lord, they are holy, they are filled with the Spirit. So that's what you call a wish-washy person, isn't it? But listen, we can't be wish-washy. We can't compromise. People are compromising today. People are compromising the Word of God. But you can't compromise this Word. We just have to have faith in it. We just have to believe in the Word of God that, as I said, I believe last night maybe, or Sunday night one, this is the Word of God. It's an inspired Word of God, and it's right, and it is the truth. You know, whether people want to believe it or not, this is God's holy Word, and it's exciting. God's Word is exciting. God's Word inspires. God's Word calls us to,
sometimes you just want to feel like kicking up your heels a little bit or something like that. Well, you know, when we feel like that, we ought to do it. Amen. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. But how many times do we go to church, or people go to church, and quench the Spirit? You know, when the Lord says, say amen or hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's all right. But you know, so many people are afraid. I wonder what so-and-so is going to think of me if I say, praise the Lord. You know, a lot of folks just say, praise the Lord, hoping nobody will see them. But listen, we need to get our hands high enough that the Lord, not that He can't see them here, but just get our hands high enough that the blessed Savior can see them. Amen. That the Lord can see. You know, I want the Lord to see what I'm doing, don't you? Because I want the Lord to bless what I'm doing. And so I want to do what He wants me to do. So don't worry about it. If you say amen, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, and you're afraid somebody's going to look at you a little bit cross, don't worry about that. Just go ahead and do it, because you're the one that's missing a blessing. If we quench the Spirit of God, the Bible says that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit of God, are we? But we do it sometimes. I've done it. I'm sure I've done it. You know, just go ahead. You know, and we can't compromise. You know, the devil wants us to compromise. You know, the devil wants us to fall from grace. The devil wants us to do this and do that. The devil would like nothing better. And you know, you want to just get something going in the Free Will Baptist now. Let old Brother Fred Johnson. It's reported that he is running around his wife Jane. Now, can you imagine the phone calls that would be over the state of North Carolina on that? I'm just using me, folks. I could use anybody, but I think it ought to use me instead of you. Amen. I won't get in near as much trouble by using me instead of you. Amen. and you know, that's what the devil would like. He'd like for this preacher to just compromise and just fall from grace and fall in sin and do all of these things. And can you imagine? Can you imagine the talk that would be? You mean Fred Johnson, the preacher? The one that was at Lambert Chapel one time? Yes, him. And you know, when they hang up the phone, they'd be dialing some more. In a day's time, I bet probably 200 or 300 people over this denomination would say, did you hear about Fred running out on his wife?
Oh, we need to rush and take his credentials away from him. Well, if I was to do that, they wouldn't have to rush to take my credentials. I'd just go ahead and turn them in. You know, they wouldn't have to come take them. But don't nobody ever worry about that. My wife, she won't ever worry about that. She knows I won't do that. And the Lord knows I won't too, because I love him. But you know, people, compromise, and people fall from grace. You know, we can't play with sin. Did you know that? The reason people get in trouble today is because they begin to dabble in sin just a little bit. And they'll say, well, I can dabble in sin and nobody will find out about it. But listen, they need to realize the most important person is the one that's finding out about it. The Lord is finding out. See, he knows all about us, doesn't he? The other people, you know, I could do what I wanted to do and keep it hid, and probably nobody would know about it. But listen, he would know. He would know. And I don't want to disappoint him, do you? I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to be a disappointment in the sight of Holy God, the one that's blessed me and the one that's been with me and the one that's took care of me. I don't want to be a disappointment to him, do you? Because he's too good. But listen, the devil would like for us to compromise tonight. He would like for us to compromise. He would love that. So listen, let's look for, I know I've got to hurry here. This is too long of an introduction. There is it. But I want us to look for a few things. There's a remedy. There's a remedy for a defeated life. You know, a lot of people just mope around, and you know, like they've lost it all. You know, just walk around, and I don't know what in the world is going to happen to me next. I declare, I don't know. This is all I've ever seen in my life. I just don't believe I can handle anything else. But you know, that's not the way people ought to do. You know, we shouldn't mope around. Why, we should hold our heads up high. Amen. We should hold our heads up high because we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are serving the Master. We are serving the main one. The one that I want to sit around the table with one day. The one that is with us. And so certainly... you know, we have something to be thankful for. And so even in circumstances sometimes, and we all have circumstances that will cause us maybe to be discouraged some. But even in times like this, we can lift up our hands and our head high because we know the Lord is wanting to see us through, and we know that the Lord will see us through. It's just a matter of when, but the Lord will come on the scene. So lift your heads high. The Almighty is coming back. Lift our heads high because the Lord is something to worship, and we ought to be excited about the Lord. If we can't get excited about the Lord, what can we get excited about? Whoo! Amen. I'll be excited here directly. You, praise God. But you listen, the Lord is worthy, and you know, as I said a while ago, don't quench the Spirit. And I've quenched it many times in churches. I've quenched it in spirit, in preaching at times. But Brother Jim, I'm getting too old to quench the Spirit anymore. I just let it rip. just go ahead. Just go ahead and have fun. You know, was it Bob Harrington, chaplain of Bourbon Street, was what he said? It's fun being saved. And so it is fun. It's fun to worship the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people tonight would realize that it's fun to come to Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church? That it's fun to come and associate with these good, wonderful people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people tonight would realize it's fun to worship God, and all of our churches would be full Sunday morning for Resurrection Day. All of them would be full if people decided that after all, the Lord, He is the right way. And so we see that we don't have to be defeated. The church don't have to be defeated. You know, the devil wants to defeat the church. Did you know that? He does. He wants to see the churches split. He wants to see the churches tore up. And all of this. There is a church in Durham. Large church. I don't know how many they have. I don't know. 300 or 400 or 500. And that church split. The preacher left, and I think the first service they had 150 people. So I don't know whether that many left the church or not. In fact, I was talking to this lady Sunday after church, and she was talking about, she had one of these little old plastic bags. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Little things about like that. And she had her change in it. And I mentioned to her about her change purse. And she said, yeah, I have my church money in that. Of course, if she don't give the church to more than that, she don't give much. She didn't have none of that green stuff. It was just just change. I told her, I was a minister. I don't know how it come up, but I told her I was a minister. And I asked, when she said church, I said, where do you attend? That's the way it was. That gives you a chance to ask people things, you know. And she said that Bethesda Baptist. Then I told her who I was, you know. And she said, well, wouldn't you like to be our pastor? We're looking for one. Free Will Baptist going to a Southern Baptist church? I don't think so. Do you? No, I don't think so. But that's what she said. That was the gist of our conversation. The church is not defeated. Although the devil says it, the church is still alive. The church is still well. Because you know why it's alive? Because the one she serves is alive and well. And so we see that it's alive and well. You know, we could look at the devil and say that we are not defeated. You know, he wants us to be defeated, but we don't have to be defeated because we know that the Lord is greater than he. You know, Elijah felt defeated on one occasion. He ran and got in a cave. When you see that in the Bible, that signifies backsliding. And you know, people backslide today. Churches have problems, you know. Most churches have little problems that crop up. I've always said, and I always will to my dying day, say that if there is a place on earth that ought to be free of problems, it's in the house of God. It's in the Lord's house. I mean, people have problems on their job during the week. So then they come to church and have problems in the church. And they say, well, I had them on my job. I go to church. They have problems. My friends' churches ought to be problem-free. They really had. Because, let me tell you why. Because people that are saved, people that are right with the Lord, can always, if they will. But that's the problem. They won't. Some of them. They won't. But people could come together and iron out their differences and iron out their problems even before the news gets out in the church that there is a problem between the preacher and this member. It could be worked out if people would do it. Don't you agree with me on that? Sure, it could be worked out. But the church is not defeated. You know, if life is ruin and shambles, there is a remedy. And then there's a remedy in this church. This church is not a, and I'm not saying this because you're a lifeless church. This church, boy, I've heard some amens this week, and I appreciate that. You know, some churches are lifeless. I've preached in some that was completely lifeless. I really have. You know, you go in there, have service. Jane sung in a church one time. She said it just felt like that the Spirit didn't get no farther than her microphone. She said, I just couldn't sing. And then her poor preacher had, I mean, her poor her poor husband had to come up and fall in and try to preach. you know that churches today, I know churches have different personalities and all of that. You know, some people are quiet and some are loud and loudmouth like me. The church still has not lost its influence. Although Satan would say the church has lost her influence, the church has not lost its influence. Even if there are those in the church that cause problems, the church is still the mighty force, and the church is still at work, and the church is still holding up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's still with us. And so the church, you know, a lot of churches, though certainly are lifeless, and sometimes, you know, you feel like, well, instead of being in a church, you're in a funeral home, you could hear a pin drop if it didn't have carpet on the floor. But you know, I like people to say amen or oh me or something, or grunt or something. Let people know that we're alive. Amen. Let the Lord know we're alive. Amen. Hallelujah. We are alive and well. Praise the Lord. We're alive and well because of Him. Praise the Lord. And the church is still going to march on. And we're going to march on and march on. And we're going to march to glory one of these days. Woo! Hallelujah! Isn't that one? That's enough to shout about there, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But the church don't have to be lifeless because He is alive and well. We've not lost life, we've not lost hope, we've not lost expectation because of Him. You know, when the saints of God get in the church, it will, and God blesses, why, it'll resurrect, will it not? So we see in Acts 10 verses 43 and 44. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive a remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. That's what we need today, the Holy Ghost falling upon our churches today, isn't it? All churches need it. All churches need it. We all need it. I need it. You need it. There was this little boy who asked his mother what the... you know, most churches, I don't know where you do or not, Sharon Acres Church has it at the back. Of course, if I'm standing up there, I can see it. Has a plaque with all of those that have died. Reverend Fred Rivenbart and his wife, and just a lot of folks that is on this plaque that's been a member of that church. And so the little boy asked his mother what this plaque stood for, and she said, "Son, that's for those that have died in service. Their name is on that." And the little boy looked at her and said, "In the morning service or evening service?" And so that church must have been a pretty dead church, don't you think? Why, he was wondering, was it for the folks that in the morning service or the evening service? So we don't want to be dead. We don't want to be classified as dead. We don't want a Free Will Baptist denomination to be classified as dead, because we want it to be classified as a denomination that is alive and that is well, and a denomination that will stand up for the truth and stand up for Jesus. You know, there's a song goes in the Free Will Baptist hymnal, stand up for Jesus. And you know, that's what we need to do today. We need to stand up and stand up for Jesus. We ought to sing it to the top of our voice. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that you're a soldier of the cross? Praise the Lord. And so we see that every person has a possibility, do they not? There's a remedy for every problem and every situation, whatever might arise in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that this church doesn't have any problems whatsoever. I'm sure it's a perfect church. Of course, we know that no church are perfect, because we imperfect human beings make up the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are imperfect. But you know what? One of these days, we're going to be perfect. We're going to be perfect. When we stand in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be perfect, aren't we? One of these days, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then Paul said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together in the clouds to meet him in the air." One of these days, certainly the church is going to rise. And by the way, the Lord is coming back for his church, isn't he? He's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a people of God. He's coming back for the redeemed. And the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Doesn't it? So he's coming back for the redeemed. And so it's going to be a happy day when that takes place, is it not? When the Lord Jesus comes back. So every problem that every church has can be cured in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in the book of Acts, the church was in one accord. That's what we need in our churches today. We need this working together. In Acts 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayer. And verse 44 says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Can you imagine a congregation together having all things common? Yes, isn't that wonderful? But you know, folks, in some churches today, I'm sure there are churches tonight that's in turmoil, and there's problems in them, and it's no sense whatsoever. Now I declare unto you that it is no sense whatsoever for the church of Jesus Christ to have problems, but I'm so sad to say that they do in spite of it. And you know, folks that are together can certainly do great and mighty works for the Lord. But you know, some churches have people, they're like this. They are complainers. Powhatan doesn't have any of those. They are nitpickers. Powhatan doesn't have any of those. But you know, churches have folks that complain about everything. You know, I've heard of folks in churches that they will vote against something or somebody because somebody else in the church wants this resolution or to be passed, but because this individual wants it and this one is being contrary and voting against this one. Isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? Because, you know, there's no sense in people voting. People need to be in one accord and not nitpick and complain and grumble about everything. You know, folks just complain and grumble about everything. Listen, if you're guilty of that, stop it. Forget it. How far has it got you? Forget grumbling and complaining and nitpicking and finding fault with everything that happens. Finding fault with the preacher. And you know, the preacher is the target of the church. Pew! Yes, sir. He's the target of the church. Pew! He's the one I'm going to shoot down. I'm going to get that rascal if it's the last thing I ever do, because I don't like something he said or I don't like something he did. Listen, forget that. That ain't nothing but a bunch of junk from hell. That ain't nothing but a bunch of junk from hell. Somebody else say amen. It ain't. That's a Johnson County word. Ain't. It isn't. Nothing but a bunch of junk from hell. Just say, boy, that's the greatest preacher, I tell you. I love that man. And you have a good pastor. I love this man. I love what he stands for. And he's a good man. And I know all of you love him. And, you know, if anybody in here that don't, I don't know it. I don't know it. But, you know, I'm just saying, just in case, just love this man, pray for him, and support him, and back him, because he's a good one. And you know, when a church gets a good one,
They ought to back him, ought to support him, and all of these things. But sometimes you have some old nitwit come along and say, I don't like you. Well, that doesn't matter. You're going to have to love me if you're going to get to heaven. So listen, we're going to have to love the preacher if we're going to get to heaven. In spite of him, you're going to have to love him. And so pick him up and bless him because he needs lifting up. He needs encouraging. Every pastor in the pulpit in America today needs to be encouraged because the old devil is trying to discourage the house of God, and we need to encourage our preachers. We need to encourage God's man, and this is God's man for the hour, and love him, and don't nitpick and complain about the church of Jesus Christ, because the Lord is coming back for the church and those that love him. Folks that cause problems in the church, I wonder about them, don't you? You know, I've always said, and people, of course, I've said a lot tonight that people at Lambeth Chapel has heard me say, but I've always said, and they've heard me say it, and I've said it in a lot of places, that every person needs a church, right? Every person needs a church, but there are some people that the church doesn't need. And you know why? Because they are troublemakers. Troublemakers. And God's house doesn't need troublemakers. God's house needs peacemakers and not troublemakers. You say, well, preacher, you sound like you experienced that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I am. These folks at Lambeth Chapel knows exactly probably what I'm talking about. This man, I got to close, so I'm not going to finish tonight. But y'all come back tomorrow night. I'm sorry I preached so long. I'm having so much fun. I declare you. I know you're going to say, well, in the world this preacher going to finish. But I had this man. Boy, he loved me. He could just kiss me. You know, the Bible says, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. You know, we don't do that anymore. It's what the Bible says. But you know why people don't do it today, probably? Somebody probably think you're funny. Right? Somebody probably say, woo, woo, what has happened to the preacher? He's gone to kissing men. Say, well, that's biblical. The Bible says, I greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, you go kissing in the mouth, that's something else. But, you know, just kiss on the cheek or something. You know, it's all right, just, hey. This fella, he just loved me to death. And then all of a sudden, he was a church problem. You know, you've seen these fellas that wants to run to church all the time. Everything goes like he wants it. He'll call off service and didn't even contact me. Can you imagine a person having somebody like that in your church, Brother Jim, that called off service in a meeting and not even consult you? And when I went there, you know how he did with the ushers? I'd say, would the ushers come forth? Will you and you take the offering? Have you ever heard of such stupid mess in your life as that? But that's what happened. That's what happened. And so I began to organize a usher board. And I challenged him when he called off service and didn't consult me. Oh, how he loved me. And then, boy, here he went. More did he ever go Did he ever travel? Did he ever go in a lot of church members' home? And the preacher that was so good, now all of a sudden he is so bad. These folks know what I'm talking about. He's no good. He's told lies. He's no good. And that's not the truth. If I've ever told a lie, God forgive me. I don't know it. But listen, when the devil begins to attack you, he's going to have to come up with something. So this man come up that I had told a lie. See, the devil has to come up with something to go against you, and so he wanted to get rid of me, and he thought the church ought to have a vote, and so he thought he had it made. Yes, he thought that he was going to get me out. But the night they had the meeting, he was the one that got out. Woo! And that church has been a happy church ever since. I didn't leave that church because it's a bad church. Lambeth Chapel is a good church. And I'm not tooting Lambeth Chapel's horn either. But that is a good church. I left because God Almighty said about 2 months before I resigned to leave. I don't understand it. I still love them people. And if God hadn't said move, I'd have still been your pastor instead of Brother Charlie Pettit. But listen. The Lord wants his people to act like people of God. He wants us to act like God's people. Listen, we're the Lord's people. We're the best people in the world. We're the Lord's people. We're on the best side. We're on the Lord's side. We're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Are you on the winning side? Listen, if you're not on the winning side tonight, you can be. You can be. Come to the Lord tonight and get on the winning side. On the winning team. I like to be on the winning team, don't you? And as long as I'm on the Lord's side, why, I'm on the winning team. God bless you. Brother Jim, would you come and lead us in our closing hymn tonight?